I wonder if kids in Moses' day are the same as kids today. See, I suspect that they are. Even though it was thousands of years ago, I think that the relationship between children and their parents is always basically been the same. And so as I look back on the fourth commandment, which we're going to go into today, it makes me wonder back, what was it like to be at the base of Mount Sinai? So we've looked at this fictional characters that I've developed, which is Ben and Sarah, to try and get a bird's eye view. What does it mean to be at the foot of Mount Sinai as God is giving out the Ten Commandments? And so if we were to jump into that family, I wonder what the reaction would be in that family when Ben and Sarah tell the kids, we're not going to the party. So you might remember last week we had the golden calf incident. And that is, Moses had been gone for over 40 days. Everybody figured he's not coming back. He's dead. And so they convince Aaron to make this golden calf. And that's going to be their gods, they declare. And Aaron, he tries to salvage it by saying, well, tomorrow we'll have a festival to the Lord. That is a festival to Yahweh. So there's going to be a party tomorrow. And now Ben and Sarah tell the kids, sorry, we're not going. They've just been through 4 months of traveling through the wilderness. They're camping, every kid's fun thing to do, at the base of Mount Sinai. And now there's one time they could have some fun. All their friends would be there. You're going to have a little bit of a celebration. There's going to be a festival. And mom and dad say, nope, we're not going. I'm not sure, but I could almost picture the scene, right? So probably Ben's son is just sulking around the camp. Right? Teenage boys, they sulk, right? They kick things, they hit things, they grumble underneath their voices. Daddy doesn't know anything. How can he go against the leaders? Everyone else is going to be there. I can't believe that I'm not going. Now, the daughter is probably just a little bit more dramatic than that. And she's working on mom, right? But mom, all my friends are going to be there. How can I not be there if all my friends aren't there? I know. Let's just go for a little while. Just a little while. We can see how it is. And if it's bad, well, then we'll leave. I won't argue or anything. Maybe we could go for a half hour. My life is ruined if we don't go. Can you tell I've raised four daughters? I have first-hand experience at this. But the implication of Ben and Sarah sticking to their guns saying no is really reaches further than just that one incident or even just the relationship between they and their kids. You see, being a parent isn't always easy, is it? There are those moments where you have to make tough decisions with limited information. But you do so because you love your kids. You do so because you know that one of the most important roles that you'll ever play is that of a parent or that of a grandparent. And so with that in mind, we jump into the fourth commandment, where God gives a commandment, but he gives the only commandment that has a promise to it. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 20. He says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your mother and father, and then it's going to go well with you when you occupy the land. In a very real way, the fourth commandment is foundational, just like the first commandment is. The first commandment is foundational for all of the commandments, but it's also foundational for our relationship with God. The fourth commandment is really foundational for our relationships with one another. You see, because it's a command that has a promise attached to it. He says, if you honor your father and your mother, so what does it mean to honor? Honor means to show respect. Honor means to hold someone in high esteem. So if you respect your parents, you hold them in high esteem, he says, then things are going to go well with you when you enter into the land. Well, we got to unpack that. Why would God attach the promise to this commandment? I believe that why he attaches to this commandment is because the family is the basic building block of society. If you have the family intact, and if the family is doing well, then all of society will be doing well. Well, and the family unit of mom, dad, and kids is the basic building unit of every society. It's been that way since creation. God created them male and female. He created them husband and wife. He created the family unit, and then they had children, and then society was built off of that. So if you have healthy, strong relationships in the family, then that will translate then into society itself. So the command has a promise, but it also has implications. And the implications run deeper than just the relationship between the family members, but it spills over into the relationship in society. Because what is learned in the family will then be mirrored in the rest of their relationships. So if they can learn what it is to honor, what it means to respect, what it means to hold other people in high esteem, that'll go much further than just with mom and dad, but in all their relationships. And if you want proof of that, look at it on the negative side. We've seen enough evidence and enough studies that when there's a missing parent, or when there's abuse in the home, or whether there's poor parenting in the home, that it finds out that that gets transferred to the kids, and they transfer that to their kids. Sometimes the cycle can be broken, but oftentimes it goes on for generations because they didn't learn it in the home, and so now all of a sudden they have trouble in relationships outside of the home and any relationship that they develop. And so here with this command, we have deeper implications. So as we, as parents, or as grandparents, frankly, or as older siblings to younger siblings, or as aunts and as uncles, whenever we pour into the next generation, when we show the next generation what it is to have a healthy relationship, what it means to honor and respect one another, the implication is far greater than just your relationship, because that spills off into all of their relationships. And so there's much more going on in the fourth commandment than God just saying, kids, you better straighten up and fly right and do what your parents tell you to do. As much as I would like it if that was where it ended, that would be great. But it isn't. It's further than that. Now, the good news is this. The good news is that God models for us what this relationship should be like. As our relationship with our Father in heaven, so that models for us what our relationship should be with our children here on earth, or our grandchildren, or the next generation. He shows us what that relationship is supposed to look like. And the first thing that we notice about that relationship is that it's instituted by God. God is the one who initiates the relationship. Let's take a look at 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it isn't that we came to God, that we found God, that we initiated the relationship with God. No, no. God loved us, and he loved us enough, by the way, to send his son as an atoning sacrifice. So God initiates the relationship. He goes a little bit clearer on that in verse 19. We love because he first loved us. The only way that we can truly love is to first be loved by God. The only way that we can truly love God is God has to first love us and change our hearts. And frankly, the only way to truly love one another is, first of all, God has to love us and change our hearts, and now we can love other people. Now, if that's true, let's take a different look at the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. So, respect them. Hold them in high esteem. How do children learn to do that? Don't we have to teach them? As much as this is about children honoring their father and their mother, I think the onus is on us. I think the responsibility is on us as parents and as grandparents. As we model the healthy relationship for them, then they learn and can model that relationship for the next generation. As God initiated, as God had to first love us, do we not first love our children, love our grandchildren, love our nieces and our nephews, and then that teaches them what it means to love? The onus is on us. So then we look at the relationship of the Father with us, his children. And what are some key points between the relationship that God has modeled for us so that we can model with our children, so that can be passed on to the next generation, so that it can infiltrate in all of society? I think there are three key things. It's love, it's discipline, and it's listening. So we're to love your children. What? We got to feed them and clothe them, and we have to love them? I mean, that's kind of a duh statement, right? You got to love your children. What parent doesn't love their children? Nobody has to tell you to love your kids. So let's go a little bit deeper into that. How is it that your children know that they're loved? I'll go back to our relationship with God in heaven. How is it that we know that we are loved by God? When he loves us unconditionally. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an unconditional love. When we were unlovable, God loved us. While we were still sinners, while we were still going in the opposite direction of God, while we didn't want to have anything to do with God, we were doing all the things that God told us not to do, God loved us enough to sacrifice his son for us, to give up his life for us. It's an unconditional love. In other words, it's not based upon you. It's not based upon anything that you do. It's not based upon anything that you will do. It's not something that you can earn. It's unconditional. It's simply God says he loves all people. And he loves them enough to lay down his life for them. If you want to know God's love, experience that love in forgiveness. When you are feeling lower than low because you've done something that you deeply regret, and you feel and you understand the power of God's forgiveness, that he still loves you, that's when you know love. Our children know love when we love them unconditionally. I'm not saying that we excuse behavior. I'm not saying that we condone bad behavior. No, we'll get to that in discipline. But what I'm saying is, even when they're, quote, unlovable, even when they do the things that we don't like, that they still know that we love them. I'm going to actually hold up my mom as the prime example of this, if you don't mind. So for some of you, I'm going to shatter your impression of me right here and now. I was not a perfect child. I know a couple weeks in therapy, you'll be okay. All right? So, I mean, I did some really dumb things as a kid, right? The dumbest thing I ever did was talk back to my mother. That only happened once, by the way. Yeah, no. There are consequences. There are consequences. Doesn't mean she didn't love me, right? But I did things like, you know, I did what she told me not to do. I did things that I knew that she didn't want me to do, right? And there were consequences. I mean, it started out when I was younger. I got sentenced to my room, right? Then I got to be grounded. I couldn't go to my friends. And then, I mean, what's the cruelest thing you can do to a boy in high school? Take away his car. I mean, yeah, I heard somebody out there. You take the car away, right? I've had that done to me also, right? But this is the thing. To a day, my mother always told me she loved me. I could tell at times she was still angry with me. She still told me she loved me. There were times I'm pretty sure she didn't like me a lot. But she still told me that she loved me. And here's the thing. I really can't remember the things that I did that made her so angry. I suppose if I worked real hard, I could come up with an example of a way that I messed up. But I really can't think of that. But what I can picture clear as day is my mom sitting at the foot of my bed every night saying, I love you. Always. That's so deeply instilled in me, there isn't a day go by I don't tell my kids I love them. And I like to believe that even the times when I have disciplined them, when I've had to enact consequences to them, that it always ends with, but you know I love you. And you know I only do this because I love you. It passes on from generation to generation. Never miss an opportunity to tell your kids or your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, that you love them. Even when they mess up, that you love them. It's a powerful force in their life. Just as God's love is a powerful force in our life, that's a powerful force in their life. The second thing that we learn in our relationship with our Father in heaven is discipline. Discipline your children. It seems to me that's kind of a dirty word anymore, so we've come up with all kinds of other ways to describe it, because somehow we're supposed to let kids make all of their choices and find all of their own ways. My question is, if they have no context, how do they do that? If we don't put parameters in place, if we don't put consequences in place, then how will they even know how to live? But supremely, I'll go back to our relationship with our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven disciplines us, and he disciplines us because he loves us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. He's actually quoting Psalm 94. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So if you're a child of God, then you can expect to be disciplined. If you're loved by God, then you can expect to be disciplined. It means God's paying attention. That when we start going down the wrong way, sometimes we need to have our knuckles wrapped. Hey, don't do that. You got to come back over here. It's not that he wants us to grovel. It's not that he wants to make us squirm, feel guilty. It's because he loves us enough to pay attention to us, to say, nope, you got to come back over here. Parents, grandparents, if we love our children, we discipline them. There are consequences to actions. It doesn't affect our love for them. Actually, it flows from our love for them. Because my experience is if you leave kids to themselves, they'll eat the wrong things, they'll stay up too late, and they'll do all kinds of dumb things. They need us to put the parameters around them so that they can grow up in a healthy environment. Or consider this. In life, there are consequences to our actions. If the children never learn the consequences and the safety of the home, that means the first time they have to experience consequences is out in the world? Model from our Father in heaven. God disciplines us. We, out of love, discipline our children. And the last key ingredient, I think, to show honor and respect is to listen. Listen to your children the same way that our Heavenly Father listens to us. The whole account in Exodus started with God listening to his people. He said to Moses, I have heard my people. I have listened to their cries. And now I'm coming down to rescue them. Think about the honor that is that God listens to you. That because he's God, that he can give his undivided attention to every person who prays to him. Jesus commanded us to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray because we have a God who wants to hear from us and who wants to listen to us. I can think of no better way to show honor and respect for another individual than to listen to them. And to listen to them by giving them an undivided attention. Let me ask you this. Does this bug anyone else that when you talk to your kids or your grandkids, you're talking to the top of their head? Yeah? Then why would it bother them even less when you refuse to look up from the television set when they're talking to you? When you finish typing the email as they're telling you about their day? When you don't put down the paper and look them in the eye? You show them respect, you honor them by giving them your undivided attention, and so you teach them. This is how you honor and respect someone else. You listen to them. You give them your undivided attention. It's more than just in the family. It has ripple effects in all of society. I believe that's why God said, honor your father and mother, and then it's going to go well when you go into the land. If you got the basic building block right, if you've got healthy family relationships, then those relationships will be transferred into those outside of the family and really all of society. He models for us what that relationship is, to love unconditionally, to love when they mess up, and to love them enough to discipline them. And to love them enough to listen to them, the same way that God disciplines and listens to us. God's not laying down the law with the fourth commandment. He's really providing for us. He's protecting us. He's teaching us how to love our family and how to love one another. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a privilege, and it truly is an honor that we can speak to you and know that you give us your undivided attention. And because you are God, even as millions of people speak to you, they have your undivided attention. And so in this moment, we would pray that you would give us the gift of your Spirit, that we then, in our relationships, would model the relationship that you have with us, that we would love one another unconditionally. In Jesus' name, amen.